It's all right. You'll look beautiful today. I say that every time, and I think I mean it every time. It is really good to see you guys, and it is also very good to be seen, especially if, since there is more to be seen, like 10 pounds more of it to be seen. What do you think I'm wearing a sweater like this in 70-degree weather? Just trying to hide this thing called the holidays that we carry with us for the next couple of weeks. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, you look beautiful today, even if there is more of you to love. You look absolutely beautiful today. Very good. And it is good to be here. I think that once I shave, 10 pounds will come off. I'm sure that's a problem, that I've grown a beard over December, and that's where the 10 pounds are at. But anyways, it is good to see you all. Some of you have been traveling, coming back from Florida, Ohio. Anything further than that? Chicago? Really? All right, all right. And some of you were planning to travel, but you ended up here. But it is good to be here. So today we're going to do our service a little bit differently. It's the end of the year, and this season's, I think they're really good to us because they give us a chance to reset, to stop, to look, to appreciate, to breathe, and to look forward. So today we're going to have a special year-end service. We're going to do some prayer and testimonies. And I will speak for a little bit because I just cannot help myself. But I'm just going to read 10 verses from a psalm. We're going to have some slides up in a second, I am sure. And then we're going to share some stories. And then we're going to have time to prayer. So are you with me? All right. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we get to spend together. This seems like time in between, this beautiful thing called the holidays, where we get a chance to just replenish, be refreshed, be renewed. And yet, these days can also be full of anxiety and stress and change of plans. Friends whom I love have spent Christmas in an ICU, or friends whom I love and Father, you know we've been talking about them. Had to change a Christmas dinner for a funeral service. And yet we get to be here. And we thank you for that. So as we share today of our journey with you, I pray that you will bless the sacred moments. And that as we leave this place, we will leave filled with newness, with joy. And a great outlook for what lies ahead in our lives. So all these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 40. I did have a few slides prepared. Can we get those on the screen? It would make this go a little bit quicker. If not, you can open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 40. David is writing here. This David whom we talked about a couple weeks ago, the presentation is on the desktop, I believe. It said prayer and testimony service on the top right corner. If not, just open your Bibles in Psalm 40. This is the David we talked about a few weeks ago. This David who was a shepherd boy and who liked to have a lyre and play this nice little instrument that's like a harp. And at the same time, this David was also a giant slayer, a guy who people would sing songs, David killed 10,000, and who would also perform unwanted circumcisions on 200 Philistine men. This is David. David who had mountaintop moments establishing the kingdom of Israel, and at the same time had these pitfalls where he would fall into deep depression and make mistakes that would lead to his children pursuing each other and taking each other's lives in this extreme mixture of great success and great failure. And this is what he writes. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise, and many will see and fear their Lord and put their trust in him. David is singing, I have seen a new day. He's singing, there was a time where I wasn't doing too great, and today there is a new song in my heart. And then he says, many will see, and they will put their trust in the Lord because of what they see in me. I don't think I got the clicker. Next set of verses. And then David continues, and he says this. Next slide. Is the clicker somewhere where I could fetch it? Oh, it's in the back. All right. Let's pull out our Bibles. It is A-OK. Psalm 40. He's got it, all right? And it says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look at the proud, to those who turn away. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of the deeds, they would be too many to declare. Because this newness of song in David's life came from a realization of the gift he had received. You may remember a few weeks ago we talked about joy. If you weren't here, go online and look it up. It was one of the sermons that brought most joy to my life. And it says, joy comes from this realization that many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done in my life. Joy, at the heart of joy, is this realization of gift, that even that breath that we just took, that is a gift. And he says, if I were to mention all the things that you have done, there would be too many to mention. And that's where joy comes from, when we stop and we look at the gift that we have been given. And gift is all around. You remember another psalm we read a few weeks ago, from dawn to sunset, your joy is found. The blessing of your joy is found everywhere. And sometimes we just need to stop and breathe and look. And that is where we hide the joy. And this, if I were to tell, there would be too many to declare. Because at the heart of joy is this ability, this gift of awe and wonder. And then he finishes with this. Next set of verses. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. My God, your law is written in my heart. Because with this new awareness of gift comes a new appreciation for who God is. And I love this, as in the heart of the Old Testament, David, as he's aware of the gift that he has been given, he comes to realize, God, this sacrifices, this is not what you really desire. This is not what it's about. This is about a bigger thing. Because with this new awareness comes a new understanding, and then comes a new desire. A desire to do your will, my God, because your law is within me. And you can take from that what you need to take, but that is deep, that is beautiful, because with new awareness of gift comes a new awareness of God and a new desire in our hearts. And then this is how he closes, and this is where it becomes very relevant to us. The last two verses that we're going to read from this psalm, if we can put them up. Right? And I will read it from my Bible. It says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written within my heart. I have told all the people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, Lord, well know. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and your faithfulness. Because it is not until we share this joy in our hearts that joy becomes complete. Remember John, 1 John, when he was writing to his friends, he says, I am sharing these things because if I don't share it, our joy will not be complete. And only when we share what we have experienced, our joy is made complete. So that's what we're going to be doing today. I want to give you a chance to share the joy that is in your life today, this awareness of gift, what God is doing in our lives. And as we share it, this joy becomes complete. Because until you share it, we miss the fact that in this journey, we're not alone. When we share this joy, it passes on, and we come to understand that other people who are going through different things and difficult things, they get to say, oh, I see, and this too will pass. And tomorrow doesn't have to be today, and a new day can come in our lives. But that cannot happen unless this joy is passed on. There's a quote that I want to share with you, which I absolutely love. It's from this sweet lady who wrote this on the last years of her life. And she says, her name is Ellen G. White, and she says, "Never think that you can be a Christian and yet withdraw yourself within yourself." I'll read that again. Never think that you can be a Christian and yet withdraw yourself within yourself. And then she says this: each one of us is part of a great web of humanity, and the experience of each will be largely determined by the experience of his associates, of his peers, of other people in their journey. That is why at RGF we believe that God is our friend, and he brings beauty into this world when we touch each other's lives for good. Remember that? That's what this is about. And that's why it's important when we share our stories, we share what God is doing in our lives, and other people will get to see that whatever they're going through, they're not alone, it will pass, and a new day will dawn in their lives. Malachi 3:16, I just want to share this verse, and then I'm done. And it says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on his name." Those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened to them, and he wrote a book of remembrance. As we share our stories about our journey, it says that God is listening, and he's taking joy in what we say, so much joy that he wants to write a book about it. A book about what we say to one another about who God is, because that brings joy to our heart. So today we want to share stories about what God is doing in our lives. And each one of you will have a chance to share your story. But I know that we at RGF maybe can be a little shy, so I cheated. I asked some people specifically to be prepared to share something. But as you hear their stories, I want you to think about, what gift have you been given this year? Where have you seen Jesus on your journey this year? Because with that awareness of gift, new joy will come to your life. So we're going to spend the next few minutes sharing stories. Are you ready? Yes? All right. We're going to be sharing stories. We're going to be celebrated. Then we're going to sing. And then we are going to pray. So let's move right along. I'm going to invite Kevin and Rose to come up front. You have seen them at our church for quite a while. And today, to give you guys a chance to think a little bit, I asked them to come and share a little bit of their story and how they have been journeying to God. And then we're going to do something very exciting, but I wanted to share their story first and a little bit of their journey. Thank you, Kevin and Rose.
Good morning. I told Paolo I'd probably need like a half an hour.
If the sermon is long today, it's not my fault. It's Kevin's fault.
But I was just going to, since it's such a long story, I'll probably just start out how we met and how we got to where we are today. My dad was military, got transferred to Guam. I decided to go with him just to see how that island life was, and that's where I met Rose through some mutual friends. I think we knew each other about 3 months, and then I asked her if she wanted to get married. And then I had to leave to go into the military. So I went to boot camp in California, and she stayed in Guam. Supposed to go back around Christmas time, but trying to get a flight to Hawaii back to Guam was impossible. So I called her. I said, "Hey, sorry about this." And she says, "Oh, don't worry. I got a ticket. I'm coming to San Diego." I said, "Well, great." So we got married, and we've been married almost 35 years now. So so many, there's been so many ups and downs through that whole time. You know, I did 20 years in the military, retired in 2003. And right before I retired, we started a remodeling company, home repair stuff, and we've been doing that ever since. God has just kind of moved through that whole thing, giving us business when we don't even know where the next job's coming from, that kind of thing. It's amazing. His timing is always exactly where it needs to be. Whether you're pushing for it, fighting for it, that doesn't matter in his whole plan. It's just when he needs you to have it, it just happens to be there. And it's been amazing through that whole time that we've done that. We also have 4 children, by the way, which I forgot to mention. it's just not us, but you only see us. 2 of them are in California. My daughter, who is the oldest, and she has 3 daughters, and is currently pregnant with her 4th daughter, which will be born in the summer. And my son out there, he just got married 1.5 years ago. It's pretty amazing that the 2 sons, well, we have 3 sons and the daughter, she's the oldest. 3 of the, out of 3 of the sons, 2 of them had married teachers, which is kind of interesting. We're hoping the 3rd will do the same. And it kind of put them on the right path, you know. The son that lives here, the oldest son, is married. He has a son that's about 9 months old, which is kind of fun. They're close. Then our other son is, Rose will probably tell you about all of that because it's part of our journey since 2015. It's been God working a lot of things out through our son and her mom and everything like that. So.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, to pick up where Kevin left off, our youngest son, Zachary, he's 22, he'll be 23 this March. He was, you know, the apple of our eye. He did everything right. He wrestled, became state champion for Virginia in wrestling, went off to ODU to wrestle for ODU, and that's a tough program. But in the midst of all of this in 2015, our son made some really bad choices and got into the wrong crowd, was involved in a crime, and was prosecuted and is now serving time in prison. You raise your kids the best that you could, and I think, you know, we have friends who have told us, you guys are the last people we would have ever thought would have this happen to them. And it just kind of reminds us that, you know what, even the best of the best, you know, you can't control, especially your children. And so anyways, we went through that in 2015, and we saw God work in his life from the time he was arrested to the time, you know, going to prison, answering our prayers. During the whole time, we knew that he would eventually probably have to go to prison. And so we prayed that he would be in a prison that was close to us so that we could visit him. And he is. He's in Chesapeake. He's in one of, Indian Creek Correctional Facility in Chesapeake. So God has really worked through all of that. That was a trying time for Kevin and myself because, you know, when that happened and you get that call, you know, and it's that collect call from your son, and he's like, I'm sorry, Mom, I did something real stupid. And the first thing in my mind was, how is Kevin going to, you know, he was at church, actually, the church that we were going to at that time. And I had to call him and tell him, you know, that Zachary's in jail. And that was a struggle for us, you know, but through all of that, it really has strengthened our marriage because of that, as well as our faith. You know, I don't know how anyone outside of church, outside of God, would ever survive something like that happening to their kids if they didn't have God. I mean, and that is, you know, God is the reason why we're still standing here, because that would have destroyed a marriage, that would have destroyed a relationship. You know, and it didn't. Instead, it just pulled our whole family together. We had, you know, the 2 kids out in California. I would say we're probably closer now than we were before because of all of this. So, you know, we thought, okay, you know, this was a tough part, and we were like, okay, nothing. It's just going to get better. Well, then the thing with my mother happened. My mother is going to be turning 93 next month. And we had put her in a private nursing facility. And she was neglected, and she had, gosh, about five to six bed sores. Hospice had to get involved. I, you know, again, this was a struggle because, you know, it's been Kevin and myself, and now this is my mother, and I really prayed about it, and I asked God what to do. You know, how can I honor my mother? And the answer that kept coming back to me was bring her home. And so I asked Kevin, you know, would he support me in bringing my mother home so we could take care of my mother? And so the last year we brought her home, actually a year ago before Thanksgiving. And that has been an uphill battle as well, because we've had to deal with Medicaid, Medicare, caregivers, bad caregivers, good caregivers. You know, it's just been such a struggle. And all of that, you know, trying to find the right type of help for her has been so hard. That's what, you know, before I was struggling, you would only see Kevin here. And, you know, I was AWOL for a couple of weeks, and until now, because now finally, again, you know, it's God just bringing the right people, answering the prayers, you know. I belong to the women's Bible study group here at church, and these are wonderful women that stand by you and pray with you, and thank God we have, you know, so far, knock on wood, we have two really good caregivers that are dependable. But prior to that, it was, I probably went through 40 different aides to get to this point of finding someone reliable, you know. And again, all of it just really praying and just asking God, you know, again. I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel now.
don't get too confident.
Well, we see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. It's been a struggle, you know. It's our son Zachary is going to be coming home next year, so in July. So we've been talking to him about this church and how this is the first church that we really, really felt like we truly understood God's love, you know. And I want to thank all of you for just, you know, just being there and just loving us, you know, even though you didn't really know all the stuff that we were going through. You know, we tend to hide it very well, you know, but I just love everybody here, and, you know, both Kevin and I love you all, and we're so thankful to finally be a part of the family.
Amen. And it is so beautiful that you just share that, because sometimes we do really good at hiding things. And yet, how enriched our lives are when we let go of those things we hide and we share them. And people just realize that they're not alone, because I'm sure no one here hurts for a child, right? Nobody here is ever concerned for their children, the future of their children. Of course, I'm not concerned about Christian. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure that no one here has ever thought of a parent that they're caring for, right? Nobody ever goes through that. And that is life. And I am so grateful for the gift of Rose and Kevin in our church. Aren't you guys?
Amen.
And we're going to continue to pray, because I have been praying for Zach and for Mom. And I just have the deepest admiration for you two. You're in a point in your life where you're caring for the two most precious people perhaps in your life, the children, who God teaches you what his love is like, and your mother, who probably is the best image of God's love in your life. And now God has put you in a role where you are ministering to them. And in that ministry, you're not alone. We're here with you. And as much as you love Zach and Mom and all your children, there's one person in this universe that loves them even more than you do. And that is our Father. And they're in their hands. And we'll be here on this journey. But today's also a very special day, because even though Kevin and Rose have been part of our family for the better part of, what, almost 2 years now? Just about, I think so, because we welcomed Jana last year, right around this time of the year, last year. So yeah, it's been the better part of 2 years. We've seen Kevin lead our music team and Rose being involved with our women's ministry, but today they finally agreed to say, I do. And and they want to be part of our church family. So we want to accept them by profession of faith into our RGF family. They have been supporting our church through ministry, through presence, through giving. They have been studying with David Bible study. You guys endured 2 years of that already. and I've just enjoyed my journey with them. And they've expressed, as you just heard Rose say, that RGF, she experienced God's love and a deeper understanding of who she is. So we would like to extend to you an invitation and a welcome into our RGF family by profession of your faith. Do you desire to be part of the Redeeming Grace Seventh-day Adventist Church? Yes? Then I really don't have any further questions. They've been here for 2 years. There's a set of 7 questions that we usually give, but we know and we love and we trust you. And there's a little gift for you guys there. There's a family Bible. This is not re-gifting. This is called passing on the blessing. No. There's brand new stuff for you and a certificate to commemorate this day in which Kevin and Rose finally gave us the pleasure of being part of our church family. So we thank you guys for that, and we look forward to continuing our journey together. How many of you would like to welcome Kevin and Rose into our church family? Okay? Very good. I will have a quick word of prayer for you guys. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Kevin and Rose in our church. They have been blessing us for years now through their presence, through who they are, and through being stewards of the gifts you have given them, music, service, just fellowship with the women's ministries and all these things. We are so grateful. And we're grateful for this opportunity we have to continue our journey together and be part of this journey that Kevin and Rose are going on. We pray for their children, for their parents, and I pray that we will be a good family to them as they have been to us, and that they will never feel that they're alone on this journey, that they will always know that they have a family who will support them through whatever it is that they're going through. And we pray this, thanking you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, thank you guys. And speaking of gifts, and joining our church family, there's another special person I would like to have come up front, and that is Hope Dampf. Hope made my year carrying on this tradition of getting really cold and really wet at Camp Blue Ridge. and truth be told, that's how excited we were to get on a lake at around 6,000 feet of altitude, 40-degree weather, and Hope decided to give her life to Jesus. I'm sure she made that decision long ago, but she decided to go through baptism on October 13, 2018. One of the days I will never forget, not only because I was part of this big step in Hope's life, but also because I almost froze to death. Even though I've done that 4 times already, for some reason this time was the worst. But I thank you, Hope, for being a part of that. And up on the screen so you can see some of the pictures that just commemorate that moment. So today we get to celebrate that as a church family. And we have a little gift for Hope. Right here we have a certificate to remember that date. Hope is an artist, and I went through great length to find a journal that doesn't have lines, but that has blank space for you to journal along, but to be able to draw and express your artistic self on your journey with Jesus. And we also got you a New Testament that says Hope. yes, a lot of pun intended. You make it so easy. And a few other goodies. And we just want to thank God for the gifts of Hope and her family in our church, and welcome you. Not welcome you. You've been part of our family since as long as we can remember, but we get to be a part of the next stage in your life. But I wanted Hope to share a little bit about her journey and what you have experienced as you have walked along with Jesus over the past year, and then we'll give you the gift, and then we'll pray with you. Sounds good?
Uh-huh.
All right.
So this year, beginning of the year, over the summer, I graduated high school. Then I actually applied for my dream school in Virginia, which was Longwood, got accepted, couldn't afford to make ends meet to get in there, so God actually worked in getting me into TCC in pre-art therapy. So I'll in a year and a half, I'll actually leave with an associate's degree in pre-art therapy. I got in touch with my two older brothers, which I have not been close to most of my life. Both are married, and the oldest one actually has a six-month-old now. I got baptized. been doing good with my art, got a lot better. And then I am also part of the teen youth group. I'm one of the leaders with Adam. And then sometimes I practice up here to sing. And that's been about my year.
Hope hasn't only been part of our youth group. She's one of the leaders there. And I have to tell you something. I haven't met many people with a heart as large as Hope's heart. When she shared with me what she's been studying, I thought, God, thank you for having somebody who listens to you, because she is an extremely artistic person, and she's going to leverage her artistic side to help people because that's her passion. And Hope, I couldn't be happier for you. And I have no doubt whatsoever that God has amazing plans for your lives. And it may not have been the college that you had in mind, but you're absolutely in his hands. And you're going to be a blessing to so many more people than you already have been if you continue to follow him on his path. And to me, it's an honor and a joy to see you grow in our church and to be a part of this. And I know you're planning on some years to go to college a little further here. It's going to break our heart into a million pieces. But we're going to be so happy to have been part of this journey with you. So how many of you would like to, again, it's not welcoming, it's just rejoicing that we get to be a part of Hope's next stage on her journey, and would like to do so by just saying amen and clapping your hands and celebrate this morning with Hope. Hope, I want to pray for you, if that's okay, and I want to pray for your family. Let's stand over there close to your family. Yes, we get to be spontaneous here at RGF, and I want to pray for you and your family. And Leaf, we're going to be doing this with you soon, I have no doubt whatsoever. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Hope and the journey that you have led her on. And in her heart lives hope. And because of her, many more people will learn to hope again in spite of the darkness that they're going through. And I just thank you that we get to be a part of her journey. And we have the gift of hope in our lives and in our church. And we get to see her grow and flourish for your glory. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Dan family, for sharing the gift of hope with our church. Okay. Whoops. I think we had one more person queued up. Michelle Higgins, where are you? You're hiding behind Kevin and and Rose. Michelle has also been on an amazing journey this year. She hasn't gotten baptized this year or nothing like that, but yet she has something to share with us, which I think will be a great blessing to us.
I wrote mine out. Everyone else was a little more prepared, I guess. So how have I seen God on my journey in 2018? When Pastor Paolo asked me to share something about my journey over the past year, I thought, how would I possibly come up with something short to answer this question and that would be meaningful for others to hear? I think this is a very difficult task, but I will try my best. Life is definitely a journey, full of hills and valleys, all seasons of life. The older I get, the more I realize that each season will pass. If it is a joyful season, I should relish in it because it will pass. If it is a sorrowful season, I can have peace knowing that it will also pass. Adam and I have grown together, and we each believe completely that we need to fully trust God to lead in our lives. We don't know what is always best for us or for our family. We only know that we need to submit each decision, each trial we face in prayer, and then trust that God will lead us. We have seen him work in our lives in countless ways, and his way has always proven to be the best way. As a youth growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist church and schools and having many relatives of the Seventh-day Adventist faith, sometimes I felt that the church as an organization believed that they always knew the answers, how we should act, what we should wear, what we should eat, where we should live, where we should go to school, and the list could go on and on. And then when I became part of RGF, I realized that my relationship with God can be so much deeper and more meaningful than that. That God doesn't want me to believe that I have it all figured out. He gave me general guidelines in the Bible, but not a complete detailed instruction book on how to live my life. I believe that God wants me to rely fully on him, and he will direct my path. I believe that God leads us each down somewhat different paths in life to help us grow in our journey and to help others along our way. The path that God sends me down is not the path that he will send you down, for we are each unique and we all make up the body of Christ. Adam and I felt God calling us to say yes to the social worker on the phone on August 31. When they were looking for a temporary home for Maverick. And I don't know why God chose us, and I don't know his specific plan for our lives or for Maverick's, but I do trust him. I trust that God knows what is best, and I want to follow his leading for my life and for my boys' lives. I look forward to the day when I can see him face to face, and maybe then I can completely understand how each detail of my life all completely work together for good. Until then, I can trust him because he has proven to me that he is trustworthy and that I wouldn't want to live my life any other way. Amen.
Thank you, Michelle, for sharing that. I shared with Michelle earlier this week that she has sparked so many conversations between Cindy and I about this, I think, perhaps one of the most human-like things human-like and God-like things that a human being can do, and that is to love unconditionally and give a child a chance at a future of love, of unconditional love. And God calls special people for those things. And I'm so grateful that God chooses people, even though, like you said, sometimes we don't understand it, and sometimes it comes in the most unexpected ways, just like a phone call. God chooses us and prepares us for those moments, even when we don't know it. So we can touch somebody's life for good. And Michelle, I don't have a gift for you, but I have my utmost admiration, and I know that God will continue to work all these things out for you and for the beautiful family you have chosen, and that you will be continuing to be a blessing to many of them. Can we promise to be there for Michelle as well on this journey? Yes? Amen. Michelle, can I pray with you? Our Heavenly Father, you have given us each a different calling. For some of us, it looks so different than somebody else's. Yet nothing happens in this world that is just random or just unexpected to you. You have this great ability at working things out for good. This doesn't mean that everything that happens is your intention. No, a lot of things happen that you never wanted us to experience and suffer and hurt. But yet you can grab all that. And you can bring amazing beauty out of it. And you can bless somebody's life because of it. And I thank you for the journey you have taken Michelle on. And the journey that she will continue to go on as she trusts you and deepens her journey and her relationship with you each step of the way. We pray for her, for Adam, for Noah, for Christopher, for Maverick, and the beautiful gift of joy you have given their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Michelle. I am fully aware that it is 12:14, and yet I think there is so much power in these moments in sharing our lives. And I just want to open the floor. We won't go long, I promise. But maybe there's something that God has done in your life this year that you have to share. That if you don't share it, if it stays in your heart, that joy will not be complete. And I want to give just a few moments for anyone who has something like that in their heart that they need to share today, to share it. A journey that you have been on, something that God has been doing in your life, a trial you have overcome or you're in the midst of it. now is a good time to share that, because somebody else might be needing to hear that, to say, oh, me too. I'm not alone in that, alone. And a new day is coming, and we will journey together. Is there anybody else that just, Judy?
So I'm Judy. I'm still new to the church, but I'm very happy to be here. I just want to share briefly that when I married my husband 12 years ago, it was 12 years ago this month, he was a believer, and now he's not. He now claims to be an atheist. As a result, we've had some very serious marital problems, and all I've been able to do is pray and ask God to change me and make me more like him so that I could be the example of God's love to my husband. There was a time not long ago, less than a year ago, where I seriously thought we were going to get a divorce. And because of God's very slow answer to prayer, my perception of his slow answer to prayer, we worked through that, and now we are very solidly, very happily married. And I have a lot of hope now, whereas it was a struggle 6 months ago even. I have a lot of hope that God is indeed working on my husband's heart, and hopefully my husband will learn who God really is, because my husband's experience in Christianity in the past was not good. And hopefully through continued prayer and showing the example of God's love, that my husband will eventually come back to the faith and be saved. So I just ask for you to remember him in your prayers. Thank you.
Amen. We had a chance to meet Steve and worship with him, in fact. And I have no doubt whatsoever that he's in God's heart. He's a good man. And I have no doubt whatsoever that this is just part of his journey. And he needed to not believe in that God that he believed once, because that wasn't a real God. And we'll be here for you. We'll be here for you, Judy. Anybody else? Okay. I think the band had prepared a song to transition us into our moments of prayer. But I want you to know that whatever it is that you're going through, it has happened before. Somebody else has wrestled with that, and you're not alone. And there is a new day that is coming, and there is new joy and new life and new birth in our lives. And that's why we exist as a church. We sing songs, yes. We preach sermons, yes. Sometimes good, sometimes maybe not so good. But more than anything else, we're part of a sacred bond, a family. And we go on this journey together. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to have moments of prayer. And I'll walk us, this is how we're going to do it. Let me explain that before the song, so then after the song, we can move right into prayer. Maybe you came in today, and your heart is just leaping with joy. Art, can you put the slide with the prayer first, and I'll explain it, and then we'll sing the song? Oh, of course, I need two mics. Why, one is never enough. and maybe you just have a prayer of thanksgiving. And you just want to say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And remind me that this might pass, and one day it might be different. But I'm going to be praying for thanksgiving. Jonathan is going to be praying for thanksgiving. So just join Jonathan if you just have a prayer of thanksgiving today and you want to pray with someone about it. Jonathan, one of our elders, is going to be standing up somewhere right around there. So right after the song is over, just walk up to him and let's pray with him. Charles is going to be praying for our families, others in our lives, our community. Maybe right now you're in a good place, but maybe you know somebody who God is putting in your heart that you need to pray for them. Charles is going to be leading us in prayer for that. And I invite you to go. Charles, raise your hand. Charles is in the back row, all right? And just approach Charles. He's one of our longest standing elders. He's been here for 13 years. And he would like to pray for our families, our community, and others. Maybe you need prayers for health. Maybe you received bad news, or maybe you're not feeling you're 100%. I'll be standing somewhere around here. Come and pray with me. Maybe you're stressed or worried about finances and things like that. Bruce will be praying with you. So Bruce is right here. Raise your hand, Bruce. If you want somebody to pray for those things, Bruce would like to pray for you. And maybe you need to pray about school and work, and you don't know what tomorrow will look like, or you feel like you're just dragging your feet, or you're stuck, and what does it all mean? Linda would love to pray with you. Linda, raise your hand. Linda's right there. So just make your way over to Linda. And maybe you're the type of person that when you hear about getting in groups in prayer, you have an urgent urge to go to the bathroom. That would be me. groups just scare me. Just stay where you are. Pray with the person next to you. Pray with yourself. In fact, if you don't like this whole gathering with people, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to go to the lobby as I usually do. After the service, I'm going to stay here, and we can pray together. But we're going to sing. And then I just invite you to pray. And if none of those things are deep in your heart, I just want to ask you to pray with the person next to you. And say, we're on this journey together. And pray for each other. As we start a new year, we're going to do it together as family. And a new day is coming. So let's sing, and then that slide is going to go back on the screen. Go with the person you would like to pray with, and then we'll have a closing prayer.
Okay. Just stay seated. Just tune in your hearts to God. You can sing along if you'd like.
I call, you answer.
specific need, just find one of the elders if you would like to pray with them. If not, just find the person next to you. If it's somebody you never prayed with before, even better. And just take a moment, a minute to share about your journey and just pray together as we transition into this new year. So let's take up about 4 minutes to pray, and then we'll close with a general prayer.
just our voices. Let's lift it up.
I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
Amen.
Our Father, thank you for this beautiful thing called family. Don't let us ever forget that you are our friend, that you love us, and that you will continue to bring beauty into this world as we touch each other's lives for good. As we close this year and get ready to start a new one, may you help us to share, as David said, with the greater assembly, with this whole world, the good things that you have done in our lives. May you help us to touch other people's lives. I know we as a culture, we as individuals, we're shy and we don't like doing that. Show us how to do it. It'll look different for each one of us. But help us to bring beauty to this world. Help us to remember that whatever it is that we're going through, because we're all going through something. We all just came out of something. We all might be going into something, but we all go through things, that we're not alone, that this too shall pass, and in the midst of it, newness will come, new life, new joy, new hope, new beauty. So whatever it is that we need to leave behind this year, I pray that you will help us to do that. Whatever beauty you have brought into our lives this year, help us to carry it forward. And as we look forward to 2019, we just thank you because we get to go on this journey with you. We thank you for the gift of here and now and the joy that you will bring our lives. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' precious name.